Okay, so here we are on this side of Thanksgiving. Do you ever get tired of saying thanks? You ever get tired of telling somebody thank you? Or at least you wonder sometimes if you're expressing it adequately, or you struggle with words to say that might be fresh and, you know, it won't just seem like it's redundant. I mean, how many ways can we say thank you to someone? Thank you to God. How can we truly thank God enough for all He's done? I mean, that's really a challenge. The Apostle Paul seems to wrestle with that a bit himself in our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and following. If you have your Bibles and want to open them there, that would be good to follow along. It's a little bit lengthy text here that we're going to look at. But also, if you have a device and want to look at that, that's wonderful. I'll be reading from the New International Version. The Apostle Paul says in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9, remember this. Now, if he's saying remember this, he must believe that they know this already. But maybe they needed their memories refreshed and be reminded of something. Any of us in that boat? That we need to be reminded of things that we know, but we tend to forget or lose sight of. Well, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compassion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, he says in verse 9, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity, now hear this, will result in thanksgiving to God. He continues in verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Verse 13, because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. And then verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, perhaps you've read over that before, heard that, but I hope you see the emphasis on God receiving thanks, that gratitude is being expressed to God. Now, the very last verse here, verse 15, that says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, or some translations might be saying, thanks be to God for a gift that I cannot thank him enough, but there's not enough words. I can't find the words. I don't know where I can't do it. They just can't find the words. Ever been there? Have difficulty finding the words to say thank you? See, Paul struggled with that too, didn't he? Well, that verse can be misunderstood if taken out of its context. Standing alone, just that verse, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Well, our impulse might be to think that, well, the gift under consideration is Jesus. Yet as marvelous as the gift of God's Son, his Son, is to us, he is not the gift Paul is referring to here. At least, not directly. Not directly. In this passage, Paul is reminding the Christians in Corinth that not only had they been blessed materially, he wanted to bless others through their willingness to share their blessings with people in need. These believers here were being challenged to give aid to those in Jerusalem who were struggling with severe famine. Now, I want to pause here a minute. These are Gentile Christians in Corinth, for the most part. They didn't know these people in Jerusalem personally. They had a fellow kinship with them, if you will, in the spirit, that they believed in God, they believed in Jesus. But they hadn't even been necessarily always accepted by the people in Jerusalem. The Jews had looked down their noses at them. The Jews had judged them, condemned them, criticized them, would not have necessarily been the most benevolent towards them in times past. But here they are being asked, right, to give aid to them. People they don't know personally, they might never meet, they might never receive a personal thank you from, but they're being told, help them, help them. Now that's interesting to me, because so many times we give until somebody doesn't say what? Thank you. And if they don't say thank you, they don't express gratitude to us, then, well, we don't know that they appreciated it, and we might be, well, hindered from giving. But I know many of people in our church, at least, they give towards missions where they don't necessarily see the faces of the people who are being blessed by our donations, by our giving, by our support. But the principle is, it's not about us receiving gratitude. It's about Him receiving gratitude, about God receiving it. So some very important principles here. This fundamental principle, that we reap what we sow, and in proportion to how much we sow. I'll say that again. The principle is we reap what we sow, and we reap in proportion to how much we sow. That's in the text. We sow a few kernels of corn, and we reap ears of it. Sow more seed, and you're likely to reap even more of a crop. So what we are now reaping in our lives may tell us a lot about what we've been sowing. Think about it. What are you reaping in your life? What are you reaping? What blessings are you receiving? It may say a lot about what have you been sowing? How have you been blessing others? Consider these passages. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace, hear this phrase, raise a harvest of righteousness. That very same phrase was in our text. Receiving a harvest of righteousness. Now in Hebrews 12:11 it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. There's that phrase again. And peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, righteousness is a gift from God, only truly available to us in Jesus Christ, because there's none truly righteous of themselves. None, not a one. But righteousness grows in us when wisdom and discipline are rooted in our daily choices. Are we harvesting righteousness? Are we living as we should? Are we doing the right thing, making the right choices? Well, that's largely going to depend upon whether or not we are doing as He says. We are using the wisdom from heaven, and whether or not we're being disciplined enough to continue to do so. See, according to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, see, he mentions that harvest of righteousness. He also says that's increased when we respond to the Spirit's prompting to help those in need. If our lives are producing only thorns and thistles instead of good fruit, why might that be? Why might that be? If our hearts are filled with fear and doubt, what are we sowing? If our families are full of strife, we can blame it on a whole lot of things, and we want to, but eventually we need to ask ourselves a question. Are we sowing peace or discord? Are we contributing to that? Because you reap, right, what you sow. And though any of us can fall on hard times for periods of time, if we're always finding ourselves struggling to make ends meet, could it be that we might be failing even to try to meet the needs of other people? Remember, we reap what we sow. Connected with this principle is something pretty amazing in the text that Paul writes to the Corinthians. We're promised here that we cannot outgive God. We cannot outgive Him. He will always replenish what we relinquish for the sake of others. I'll say that again. He'll always replenish what we relinquish for the good of others. That's the promise in the text. We will have what we need and more. Not to hoard, but to share. If we fail to do that, our fountain of blessing may be reduced to a trickle. But if we give to those in need, we're generous about it, what flows from the storehouse of heaven will run freely and continually. That's the emphasis in the passage. Another principle here in the text is when the generosity of God flows through us, it results in praise to God. In fact, Paul says there will be an overflowing of many expressions of thanks to God, and men will praise God for our obedience to Christ and for our generosity. Now drink that in. Slowly. Savor it a minute. Savor it. When we bless others out of the blessings we receive, God is blessed. In essence, we become instruments of praise and thanksgiving to God. Thinking of that really boggles my mind. I want you to imagine for a moment an accomplished musician playing at a major concert. I mean, this is a big deal. It's been advertised. I mean, it's promoted. I mean, crowds are going to be there. And you get to come. You may be picturing a pianist or a violinist or a guitarist. But imagine someone, again, this accomplished musician. The virtuoso gives a marvelous performance, and the audience stands, and they applaud, and they're throwing roses on stage. Folks line up for autographs afterwards, and you're among them. Critics who are there are writing rave reviews the next day. Those attending talk about how great the concert was for days thereafter, if not weeks, if not months. Someone was just telling me they got to attend a Matt Maher concert. And I said, well, good for you. I was just a little bit jealous, just a little bit. But I just missed it and was just thankful for them that they got to attend that concert. But wow, that's a great thing. But think about it a minute. Is everyone cheering the instrument or the one who played it? Are the accolades for the instrument or the one who made it play beautiful medley or melody? Who? When we bless others with the blessings we ourselves have received, God is the one praised. Thankfulness is expressed to Him. That is, if we make it clear that we are just the instruments that He uses and that all glory and gratitude belongs to Him. Sometimes we need to do that. They thank us and it stops there. As I've stressed many times, we need to always, and we saw that in last week's lesson as well, whatever we do, word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Always again, giving Him the honor, Him the glory, Him the praise, Him the gratitude. We're just instruments. All the glory, all the gratitude belongs to Him. As Paul wrote elsewhere to believers in the Ephesian church, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship. What does that mean? He handcrafted us. He made us. He designed us for a purpose. And the purpose in the text is that we would do good works, that we would do good things, good deeds. We would do that. That's His purpose. And I want you to see this again. I'm going to emphasize this once more. Here's the way it works. God blesses us. We bless others. They bless God. He blesses us more. We bless others more. They bless God more. It's an unending circle, see, of praise and continued gratitude. That's what it is. Maybe now we can see or begin to see why Paul would say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What gift? Like I said, it's not speaking of Jesus specifically, but it is about what God is doing through Jesus in his people. For what is happening is the gift of God's love in Christ is not only saving us, it's transforming us. We're becoming vessels to carry his goodness into our communities, reflecting his glory as we imitate Christ. As Paul also wrote in Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14, in Christ we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. So I have a challenge. Over the next couple of weeks, what do you say we count our blessings differently? You know, we were encouraged earlier in the month, right, to count our blessings. What do you say we count them a bit differently, though? As we take a grateful inventory, and we need to do that, let's ask God how to bless others with what we have. Not just count them as our blessings, but count them as the blessings we've received to share, to bless someone else with. Rather than think about each blessing as something we have to keep, let's consider it as something we have to share. Because when we keep, we don't reap. See, it's when we sow that we reap. Once we've done that, let's do as the Spirit moves us. Not to receive thanks for ourselves, because again, that's not what it's about, but to prompt others to give thanks to God. In the process, see, we will be a channel of continued praise and gratitude to Him. That's His plan. That's His purpose. That's what it's all about, is for us again to be thinking this way. So as we think, you know, about all God has done for us, we need to be thinking about what we're to do with what He has done. Just think about that on this level. If we do, as we often stress we should do, if we have nothing else to be grateful for, nothing else we can think of to be thankful for in the moment, except for the gift of God's Son in Jesus Christ, that gift of love, that sacrifice, if that's all we have, what are we to do with that gift if not to share it? What are we to do with that good news that God loves us if not to share it with the world? And maybe sometimes we don't feel the love of God or even experience the love of God in the way He intends, but I wonder if it could be that sometimes we're not sharing the love of God. Because what? We reap as we sow. We reap as we sow. The more love we sow, the more we will reap love. The more we share the good news of Jesus, the more we will appreciate the good news of Jesus. The people will be praising God. He will pour it into our hearts again. That gratitude, we'll express it, we'll share it, and it grows and it grows. And we have, again, this continued circle of gratitude. And once again, if something's happened and the circle's broken, we got to know it's not that God has failed to keep His promise. Right? And we cannot control whether or not people thank Him for what we do, but we need to encourage them to. Amen? We need to do that. But let it not be that the circle's broken because we have failed to do our part in receiving the blessings and sharing them. And sharing them. I'm thankful. Extremely thankful for all that God has done for me in Christ. Are you? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? You out there in the listening audience, are you thankful for what God has done for you? Then yes, express gratitude to Him, but remember that one of the ways, and a primary way, according to Paul, that you really express that gratitude is not just in saying thanks to Him, but in sharing what you're blessed with, sharing that good news with others, and encouraging them to express the gratitude and the thanks, give the praise and the glory to the one who deserves it. That's our Father. Isn't that what we ought to do? Isn't that what we should do? I would encourage us all to do a little sewing this week. And I'm not talking about mending. John talked earlier about clothes that we may be thinking, well, that's something I got to sort out of my closet. If you have anything that needs mended, you might think, well, okay, should I mend this? Well, maybe that's what we need to do. But I'm not talking about that kind of sewing. What needs to be mended so often is our hearts. What needs to be mended so often is our, if you will, response to God. Do we need to look at that, consider that, and respond? I, once again, as I mentioned just last week, would love to challenge you about some ways to do this very thing, to share the good news, to share love, to share, you know, the blessings you have with others. And we need to be a little bit imaginative at this time. We need to be a little bit thinking about that. How can we do things, even though we might be hindered from doing it the way we have? But I'm going to be posting some things, supplying some things over the next few weeks, some suggestions about some ways you can do that. You don't have to follow my suggestions, but wow, follow the prompting of the Spirit. The prompting of the Spirit. If you've been blessed, bless somebody and tell them where the blessing's coming from. Not from you, but from Him. And encourage them to give the thanks, the praise, and the honor, and the glory to Him. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for all that you have done, are doing, and continue to do. God, we are indebted to you, and there is no way we could possibly ever repay the debt, but we're so thankful that all you're asking for us is to, well, say thanks. Say thanks. And live lives that again, express thanks through blessing others as we've been blessed. Father, I know sometimes it's a matter of our own personal faith and conviction, or maybe our concerns or worries that, well, if we help others, we're going to have less. But that's not what you're saying. That's not what you say. You say we'll always have what we need and more through blessing others. Help us to believe that, receive it, and live it. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, and amen.